Hello, my friends, and welcome to Reflections Upon the Precious Book Divine. My name is Rick Popejoy, and I have the distinct privilege and the wonderful pleasure of serving as your host this day. I'm glad that you are able to join us, and I hope and pray that you are prepared and poised to study, to meditate, that's right, to reflect upon the Precious Book Divine. Now, I do need to caution you just a tad bit. This is a study hall, but it is a study hall for the brave, for the spiritual-minded Bible student. In other words, what we mean by that is that we make absolutely no apologies for what God says or the manner in which He said it. God's word choice is His word choice. It is not man, and therefore, it is presumptuous upon man to make any changes in that word. We shall not add to, we shall not take away from anything that God has said. At least it shall be our intention, our desire, and our will not to do that. If we do that by mistake, if we do that because of ignorance, we beg your rebuke in regards to that, so that we might learn the way of the Lord more accurately. And no man, as we are very clearly taught in Scripture, no man is above the influence of sin or the influence of teaching error. And so we must constantly be on guard. And I need your assistance as much as you may need mine in regards to keeping ourselves on track, in line with the precious Word of God. And so we are certainly grateful that you are here with us this morning. And at least if it is morning for you, you may be living in a part of the world where this is actually evening or nighttime for you. But whatever the time of day, we are grateful that you have joined us. Now, we have been focusing our attention, beginning this past Monday, on a series of lessons dealing with symbols, likenesses of emblems of God's Word. That is, God likens His Word to several different things within Scripture. We notice that God's Word is like a mirror, and it reflects our true self in regards to who we are. And it reflects who we ought to be. And there is a divine standard within that mirror. You know, the mirror of God is a true mirror. It reflects properly James 1, 23 through 25. Yesterday, we talked about God's Word as a hammer. And the fact that as a hammer, its design is to convict. It will destroy. It is both a tool and a weapon. And that is such a beautiful illustration of God's Word. But now today, we want to continue with the thought that is expressed in Jeremiah 23:29, and that is that this is the first question that God asked in likening His Word. Is not my Word like a fire? And so today we're going to focus upon the Word of God as a fire. There are many different aspects to that word, but we'll get to that in just a minute after our introductory announcements and items. But we do certainly want to welcome everyone to our broadcast today. And I see that we have several Bible students that are joining us. Some have noted, and we always like to know that you are with us. Oftentimes, people like Brother Furness, I love when people remind me where they are from so that I might at least be able to calculate in my mind the many different places that Reflections Bible Study and Study Hall go to. And so Brother Furness is there in Purcell, Oklahoma, and we always appreciate him joining us for this Bible study, a good, faithful gospel preacher there in that area. And we continue to pray for the church there in Purcell, Brother Furness, and hopefully that they have done well in continuing to overcome the difficulties of COVID before. I see that Sister Jensen has joined us from the state of Washington. We continue to keep her in our prayers. And then, yes, I did notice that I got a little note earlier, and so we want to keep Brother Jerry Brewer in our prayers. He has suffered a stroke and is in the hospital. I contacted the twins, Nathan and Landry, earlier through Facebook, and certainly wanted them to know that we are praying for them and praying for our brother in his difficult time. And so we certainly want to be noting of Brother Brewer. Sister Woodall has joined us from the state of Washington, and we certainly want to keep our brethren wherever they may be in our prayers, but especially those that are hurting. Now, I will tell you that my Facebook just came up and said, sorry, we're having trouble playing this video. I don't have the capability to learn more, which is what it wants me to do at this time. I pray that y'all are not having any difficulties with that. And well, look at there. I just refreshed it, and it came right back. And we had no difficulty with it. So that's a good thing. Sometimes technology, when it goes bad, it goes bad. And so we're grateful that we can still be with you at that particular time, at this particular time. All right, so let's keep our Brother Jerry Brewer in our prayers at this time. Let's see here, a couple of things that I want to make note of. If you're ever in the Nesbitt, Mississippi area, that's the northwest corner of the state of Mississippi, just south of Memphis, Tennessee, we want you to come by and join us at the Nesbitt Church of Christ. We meet every Sunday morning at 9 a.m. for our Bible study, 10 a.m., 6 p.m. for our opportunities of worship, and we meet every Wednesday night at 7 p.m. Come by and see us, and we will, well, we'll leave the light on for you, and we'll treat you as an honored guest. Let's see here. Want to make sure, don't forget the to mark your dates. Put this on your calendar. Put this on your travel plans. January the 27th through the 31st is the 22nd annual Standing in the Gap Lectures. Once again, that's January the 27th through the 31st, 2021, the 22nd annual Standing in the Gap Lectures. Men such as Omari French, Jason Rollo, Joshua Rodriguez, Michael Light, Keith Mosier, B.J. Clark, Israel Rodriguez, Tom Waycaster, and Terrence Brownlow Dendy will be joining us in a series of lessons dealing with Come Now, Let Us Reason Together, out of Isaiah chapter 1 and verse number 18. If there is ever a time in which we need to stress sound reasoning, it is today in our society. And come and join us. I will give you more details in regards to the book that we publish. If you would like it, all of our books of past lectureships can be found on our website at the Nesbitt Church of Christ. And so if you will, I think Miss Mona is still with us, and I think she is, she can probably post that for us in the Facebook Live, but if you will just search the Nesbitt, Mississippi Church of Christ, 685 Nesbitt Road, you should be able to find our website. And all of our past lectures are can be downloaded in a PDF format in regards to those lectureships. So let's see, what else do we have? Oh, the phone number today, 405-428-2440. Once again, that is 405-428-2440. Now, we don't stress that this is a live daily broadcast of Reflections, and you are welcome to call us on that number. Send us a text at that number if you so desire, and any question or comment that you might have about the program of the day, you're welcome to send it our way. If you want to send us something through that venue of a text, then you're certainly welcome to do that with regards to Open Mic Friday, which is coming up in a couple of days. And so that's where you get to determine the direction of the program. And we always are very pleased to be able to deal with any question or comment that you might have in regards to the Bible. And that is our basis. So let's see here. What else do I have? Oh, I don't want to forget our good brethren or our good listeners at WJHF 106.9 in the Florence, Alabama area. And I would encourage you that if you have opportunity, if you live in the Florence, Alabama area, go by and see our family and friends at the Jackson Heights Church of Christ. Give them a call for their COVID times of services. I see that Brother David Johnson, faithful gospel preacher, there in Marlin, Texas, right outside, or I guess Waco was right outside of Marlin, Texas. And good to have Brother David with us. Count him as a good friend and a wonderful gospel preacher. Let's see here. What else do we have? Can't think of anything else that we need to announce. So as is our MO, modus operandi, I guess we would say, we want to go to our Father in prayer, and then we want to have a song here, and then we'll get started with our Bible study. And again, I want you to remember, if you would, Brother Jerry Brewer, who suffered a stroke and is in the heart in the hospital in Oklahoma City, I believe, is where Brother Scott said he was. So let's keep him and his family in our prayers. Almighty God and Father in heaven, as we come before Thee at this time, we do thank Thee for all of the great blessings that You have bestowed upon us. We realize that we are so undeserving of the least of all of Thy blessings, but because of the great sacrifice of Thy Son, Jesus Christ, because of Thy wonderful benevolence and mercy and grace, we are able to stand before Thee in Thy presence and offer up this prayer of supplication, intercession, and gratitude. And we pray, our Heavenly Father, that as we come before Thee at this time, that we recognize Thee as an awesome, majestic, and holy God, the earth is but Thy footstool, and that Thou must condescend just to look into the affairs of this world of ours. But we are so, so grateful, our Heavenly Father, that You would so condescend as to not just look upon the things of this world, but to interact in such a grand fashion as the sacrifice of Thy Son, Jesus Christ. We're mindful, our Heavenly Father, of Thy love that You bestowed upon us, in that You would tell us that great and wonderful story of the cross, the story of redemption, and the sacrifice that Thy Son made so freely on our behalf. We're mindful, our Heavenly Father, at this time, for the many individuals that are suffering difficulty in their life, for those that are in the hospital, and we have many within our own congregations, I know, that certainly need our prayers on a daily basis, and we pray for all of them within the local congregations. We certainly want to remember our good brother Javon Jesse, who is undergoing physical difficulty at this time, and we ask that you would be with him and his family. Strengthen him, strengthen the nurses and doctors that are caring for him, so that he might once again be back with us in our Bible studies, that he might once again be back preaching thy word in Hyderabad, India, and the surrounding area. We're grateful for all of our Bible students, Father, and we beg our ability, our determination to study thy word, that we might be increased not just in knowledge, but also in our determination to do thy will. We're mindful also of our brother Jerry Brewer, who has suffered a stroke, and we pray for his family as they gather together around his sight. We pray for the nurses and the caregivers and the doctors that will give him care and aid. We pray that they might do their due diligence and be productive in taking care of our brother's needs. Whatever the outcome, our Heavenly Father, we pray that you give us the strength to know that thy will is that we might one day be able to join thee in an eternal abode. We're thankful for the hope that we have through Christ and in thy word in heaven itself. We pray, our Heavenly Father, that you would bless us in this hour of study. In Jesus' name, amen.
Who's that walking down the road, carrying such a heavy load? Sinner, lay your burden down, you're walking on heaven's road. And when you're walking on heaven's road, I gotta lay down my heavy load. Jesus said he'd walk along with me. Praise God, glory, hallelujah. I'm singing all the way, I got sunshine in every day. Won't you come along and join me on that heaven's road? Ain't no people crying there, ain't no sadness anywhere, ain't no need to shed a tear, you're walking on heaven's road. And when you're walking on heaven's road, I gotta lay down my heavy load. Jesus said he'd walk along with me. Praise God, glory, hallelujah. I'm singing all the way, I got sunshine in every day. Won't you come along and join me on that heaven's road? Young folks walking hand in hand, singing with the angel band. Old folks ain't so tired and worn, they're walking on heaven's road. And when you're walking on heaven's road, I gotta lay down my heavy load. Jesus said he'd walk along with me. Praise God, glory, hallelujah. I'm singing all the way, I got sunshine in every day. Won't you come along and join me on that heaven's road? Won't you come along and join me on that heaven's road?
All right, my friends, here we are once again. We have been truly blessed with the power of that song. And the power of singing is something that beautifies our day, no doubt. It enriches and strengthens the heart of man. Oh, I love that. My five-year-old Sister Robert says, love sing. You see, you know, that's interesting. I have a young man, I say he's a young man, he's 19, 20 years old, and he's a member here at the congregation, and he mentioned the other day, or I think his mother mentioned to me, that he was tickled when I took a sip of my coffee during the... So you tell that five-year-old son of yours, great minds think alike. All right. All right, so today we are focusing on another likeness of God's Word, how God's Word is likened either to a mirror or to a hammer, and here in Jeremiah 23:29, once again, to a fire. And so it is a very interesting illustration, and one that I think is important for us to spend some time dealing with. My friends, no foe can withstand the force of God's Word. Now, that is as true today as it was during the time of the great flood, of the time of Sodom and Gomorrah, of the time of the wilderness wandering, and it was it's true today as it was of the time of AD 70 and the destruction of Jerusalem, and it will be as true come the day of judgment. No man can withstand God's word. There is no foe that can withstand the power of God's word. When God said, "Let there be light," light did not cause an argument. There was no challenge to when God said, "Let the air bring forth fowl of the air and a fish of the sea and every beast and creeping thing upon the earth." There was no, when the sun was given the greater responsibility of the day and the light, there was no discussion between the sun and the moon saying, "Well, wait a minute here, I'm getting a lesser role here, God. I think as the moon, I ought to be able to get a greater light than the sun." There was no argument. And there is no foe that can withstand the Word of God. You know, yesterday we noted that the Word of God acts like a hammer, right? It breaketh the rock into pieces. Now, that picture that is being presented there is the idea of crushing something into powder by pounding of this magnificent, gigantic, you might say, hammer, which is the Word of God. It has the ability to pound it. And in that context, he's dealing with false teachers. Well, that same verse gives us another picture of God's Word, which is our subject today, and that is not my Word like a fire? Now, this is a rhetorical question, but God is saying it is like a fire. Now, the image is as striking and dramatic and suggestive as that of a hammer or a mirror. And I want us to consider at least two concepts, but I want this to be established as our fundamental thesis, you might say, or our proposition, even though we're not going to be able to get to every single aspect of this in today's program. But as I noted in our advertisement out on Facebook, that the Word as a fire ignites the soul, burns the conscience, purifies the obedient, illuminates the mind, energizes the will, warms the heart, and fuses fellowship between God and His creation. Yes, the Word of God is a fire, and every one of those items are items that are related to fire. fire certainly ignites, right? I mean, you put some kindling, some wood, and some stuff on and get that fire on. You put some you put a match on there, and you'll see that bonfire or that fire just, and it gets larger and larger. And the more that you put on it, then the larger it gets. Fire ignites, but it also burns, right? Anything that is thrown on it will feed it and will be consumed thereof. Fire burns. Just if you don't think so, put your hand on a fire. And in fact, fire burns enough that it works as a warning, right? It warns the conscience in that regards. But it also purifies. My good brother Trent had a lesson yesterday, that I listened to in regards to the purification process of God's Word. And it's an excellent lesson. I think I saved it or shared it on my note. But he did a magnificent job with that at showing us those things. But this is what God's Word does. It purifies as gold and silver and things such as that are purified. There is the refiner's fire, right? Well, the Word of God is the refiner's fire. Trials and tribulation, that is the refiner's fire. And yes, and as we made note yesterday that a hammer can be a tool or a weapon, so fire can be both dangerous and useful at the same time. So it can consume your house or it can warm the inside of your house. Trent is the IT director at OABS and was preaching at one of the congregations there in Olathe, Kansas, and that's right outside of Kansas City. And you might look for the, you can go to the Online Academy of Biblical Studies and you can find the information on the Olathe Church of Christ there. And by the way, Brother Bonner's supposed to be up there for a gospel meeting then this year in the spring, and then I think I follow him up in the fall. And so it's a good congregation there. They always have they are always associated with the 39th Street in Independence, Missouri, in regards to the lectureship, the Midwest lectureship that will come up, what is that, September, October? I think it's September. I hope that's always, there's another one that you need to set your calendar for, because it is always an excellent, it'll be September, and I think it'll be the third week in September each year. But he had a tremendous lesson dealing with something similar to what we are discussing at this particular point. But it burns and it purifies, but it also illuminates, right? You take and you put a fire in a stick or a glass globe, right? And walk through a dark place and you have illumination, right? And it can illuminate the darkest of minds that are out there. But it also energizes. Fire gives energy. You know, several years ago, I can't tell you how many years ago, I used to live in Rawlins, Wyoming. And I was working for a state-run child care institution there. And I would travel down from Rawlins, Wyoming to, what was that little town? Hayden, Colorado. And on the way, I would go through Craig, Colorado. Well, Craig, Colorado has a plant there for electricity. and they have this inside of this power plant. They have this huge firebox, and one of the members worked there, and so he took me through a tour of this particular establishment, and so we got close, and the box, I mean, it's several stories, it's huge, and as we're getting close, he said, now listen, we can't get any closer to the box. Anything that goes in the box, he says, is consumed. You have to have on one of those suits even to get close to the box, and you can open up, and they did, they opened up a little, and you could see the fire down inside there. I will tell you that it was so impressive upon my mind at that time that I immediately began to develop a lesson on the fire of hell, that although something the soul is sent in, it does not consume it. Well, the worm dieth not, but the pain and the agony is there. So fire is something, and by the way, the reason why I brought that up is the whole purpose of that fire was to give light and energy to all of that area. Light does energize, or fire does energize things, but it also warms the heart, right? Yeah, Sister Woodhull, if you live up in the north, even in the central part of the United States, we grew up knowing something about that. One such year in Lindsay, Oklahoma, we were 10 days without power due to rain and sleet and ice and then snow on that, and we had a fire in our fireplace the entire time that we were without electricity. That fire, oh boy, you put your hands up there after coming in from outside, and it just it melts all of the icy stuff off of you at that particular time. And so it warms the heart, but it also fuses. You know, fire is utilized to fuse things together. You take a welding arc and you can weld metal together with fire. And once a certain, you know, you get a good weld, and you'll break something rather than rather than tearing that weld apart. And so fire is something that fuses things together. Now you think about the power of that statement that we have just made, and then you go back to the power of the origin of that statement in chapter 23 and verse number 29 of the book of Jeremiah, and he says, "Is not my word like a fire?" Oh, absolutely. It is a fire. But there are a couple of things that I want us to note in relationship to that fire today. Number one is that fire feeds upon whatever is thrown into it. One of the most significant things, I believe, about fire is that it is something that consumes almost anything that goes into the fire. And by the way, you think about things that would normally be seen as a non-consumable thing. We learned, right, that things that normally do not heat up, that is, but under intense fire, they can be consumed. So it feeds upon and consumes whatever comes its way. And so you think about the fury of the flame in the west out on the Pacific coast, partly due to the fact that they don't clear out their underbrush, But there are always fires that are out there. You'll find fires in California and Oregon and Washington, and wildfires burning all over the place. And I like, you know, Sister Woodall said, fire under control. Now, these are wildfires, right? Fires under control is a wonderful thing. Fire out of control is a dangerous thing. It can serve up its fury and consume hundreds of thousands, if not millions. I remember when we lived in Wyoming, we lived up there for 7 years, and one of the times that we lived up there was during the time that Yellowstone burnt. And I remember that time, and you can still go up there and you can find where there are some remnants of that fire still yet today. When we want the fire go down, we don't throw more wood on it. In fact, the Word of God reacts to the opposition that is given to it. You throw more wood on the fire, more hay and stubble, as Paul would mention in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. You throw that on there, and it will continue to consume. We tell our children all the time, well, don't touch that, it's hot, right? Sometimes they don't understand the concept of hot until they put their hand on it, right? And then it immediately, that hurts. Fire can hurt in regards to that. There is a warning associated with fire. And so that's the nature of God's word, though. The warnings, the benefits, the harm that comes by not listening and paying attention to what fire really is, that is what God's word is designed to do. And so opposition, when you throw more wood on the fire, it doesn't go out. Opposition never weakens the effectiveness of God's word. It's just the opposite, my friends. In fact, it has been noted since the early church that the death of martyrs is the seedbed of the church. Now, you think about that particular statement. Wicked men have never been able to succeed in stamping out God's word. Where there is opposition that has been the strongest, the word of God has been the most effective in the hearts and minds of individuals. In fact, it can be truly said that there is little opposition to God's word. And where there is today, and where there is little opposition to God's word, in fact, up until recently, I would say that most of the opposition to God's word in the United States was behind the scenes. And we rarely even had a great conflict, so much so that I believe that the church has become fat and weak and complacent in so many different areas. But you let persecution begin to arise, as we are starting to see the flames of persecution come our way, then you will begin to see the mettle of men. Then you will be able to see men who are of great faith take hold of God's word, cling to its promises, rent asunder the opposition, rest in all of its assurances, and stand strong for the Lord. You'll be able to see first, though, a culling of the herd. And that's what we're seeing right now, my friends. We're seeing who truly is our friends. And I mean friends in the Bible use of that term. We're really beginning to see who our faithful brethren really are, those who are willing to go through the fire with us instead of sending us into the lion's den. Who will be that person who will stand with us in regards to that. And so opposition and strong opposition. In fact, as we noted, the greater the opposition, the stronger grows the Word of God in the hearts and minds of men. You see that in the book of Acts. It doesn't take long within the book of Acts where you begin to read things such as here is the consuming of Ananias and Sapphira in Acts chapter 5. And the Bible says, "And great fear came upon the church and upon as many as heard these things." It says in verse number 14, "And the believers were more added to the Lord, multitudes, both men and women." That come immediately after, by the way, the opposition of the Sanhedrin and the religious elite, where Peter and John and the apostles withstood the beatings and the pressure that was placed upon them, where they would say, "Don't you speak in this man's name anymore." And they said, "We must obey God rather than man." You know what weak men do? You know what weak minds do with such statements as that? They will tell you that it doesn't apply in our day and time. They will tell you that when the government just suggests certain things, that it doesn't apply in our day and time. That we can give up on God's commandments and not meet together because Acts 5 and 29 doesn't apply today. That Acts chapter 8 would apply, that they were scattered abroad and went everywhere preaching the word, and so we can be scattered and not meet together. That's the way they are. That's what weak minds do, my friends. These are not strong men. They have been culled from the herd, and they understand absolutely nothing in regards to the commandments of God. Because, listen, a man that is willing to give in one area of the commands of God will give up on any area in the commands of God. And so opposition to God's word in the first century church, oh yeah, it called some people out. And at the same time, you see that in the book of Hebrews. Many were going back and not obeying God anymore, not living for Jesus anymore. But now, look at the book of Acts here. It says in chapter 8, you find a great obedience to God's word. In chapter 7, you find a great obedience to God's word. You'll find that over and over, so much so that now even Saul of Tarsus obeys the gospel of Christ. This was during the time of intense persecution, and the church continued to grow, and it continued to grow. And a Christian at ease may be careless and indifferent toward the Word of God. We might even have become so fat and weak and complacent that we are indifferent toward not just the Word of God, but the application of God's Word. That we read it carelessly, and that we ignore the exhortations and shun the rebukes and the warnings that are given to us therein. That's what a lack of opposition to the Word of God can, it doesn't have to, but it can cause in the saints of God. But you let a trial and tribulation arise in the hearts of a person who loves God and who has become complacent, then what do? Suddenly, their mind is awakened. Suddenly, their soul is ignited. their conscience is burning, and their obedience is ignited and purified. Their mind is now illuminated, right? And their will is energized at that particular part, at that particular concept. And so at that particular time, they will run to the Word of God, and they will begin to consume the Word of God as much as possible. Sister Woodall mentions Ezekiel 20 and verse number 47, which the Bible says, "And say to the forest of the south, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will kindle a fire in thee, and it shall devour every green tree in thee, every dry tree in flaming fire shall not be quenched, and all the faces of the south to the north shall be turned in them." That's what God does with his word. And so the word of God feeds upon, the children of God feed upon the opposition that is thrown its way. We see that time and time again. We have studied 1 Peter before in relationship to this very thing. And so 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 7. And by the way, the Bible continues to tell us that we should not be surprised at the fiery trials that come our way. Notice with me, first of all, in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number, let's begin in verse number 6. "Wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if it need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptation, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold, that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Christ Jesus." Oh yeah, we're going to undergo many trials and tribulations during this time. The more we go through, we will find a purifying process. So let us feed upon the opposition that comes our way and not cower to the opposition that come our way. You know, this is such a contrary message to most messages that you will hear in pulpits today. Oh, no. Do everything within your power not to cause any controversy. And passages are taken out of their intended principle, an intended context, to make us feel as if there is any conflict. Sometimes we even use a false analogy. I want you to think about this. Sometimes we say, conflict arises in a congregation, and here's what we say. Well, it takes two to tango. Does it? Does it take two evil, wicked, selfish men to tango? That's what we mean by that. In other words, this would not be a problem if you were not a part of the problem. Well, now let's apply that to Jesus. Jesus came into this earth, and he came to set a man against his own family. Well, Jesus, if you hadn't come, all things would have been just fine. Jesus came, and there was opposition from the religious elite of his day. Jesus came, and they crucified him. They cried out, you remember, for a murderer and a seditious man rather than Jesus Christ. So, it takes two to tango. So what fault did Jesus possess? If Jesus would have just said, well, maybe I could tone it down a little bit, right? Then, no, my friends. That is absolutely not true. Now, Miss Mona asked the question, what was the passage that Omari used about using the enemy's weapons against them? I wish I could tell you, and I cannot. But that is an excellent point in regards to that. We're going to have to think upon that. But fire feeds upon that, right? But now let's not lose sight of the fact that fire consumes whatever is thrown upon it. Now, it devours things, right? Things that we would normally, as I mentioned earlier, normally we would think, well, that's not going to burn. In just a matter of hours, something that we would think would not burn is burned to a pile of ashes. Think about the Twin Towers in 2001, right? And the beams that melted, and we would normally not even think about them burning, but the burning was so hot that it consumed them. Nadab and Abihu, certainly they used strange fire, and God used fire to consume them. My friends, lost and rebellious men, that they constantly are going to be opposed to the Word of God, and the Word of God must be preached, and we must preach it. This is why I have said over and over and over again in regards to this. This is study hall for the brave, for the spiritual-minded Bible student. We make no apologies for what God says or the way God said it. What God said and the way God said it is the only thing that will answer the arguments of the greatest intellects that have been thrown our way. No matter who it might be, no matter how many of them. I like what Brother Johnson mentions, even steel burns. It does. And the steel of the opposition of God will burn under the heat of God's Word, whether that be atheism, agnosticism, or all of the host of false religions of the world and false churches within the realm of Christendom. They might flourish, but God's Word will consume them. There will be a time in the judgment day where all that are contrary to God's will be destroyed. Now, before we close, I want to deal with something else that I think is important. See, in Jeremiah chapter 5 and verse number 14, Jeremiah is told that the Word of God would be in his mouth as fire, and this people would be as wood, and it shall devour them. But you know what happens when the man of God gives up on the Word of God? Now, we're talking about a man like Jeremiah. He goes through a lot of opposition. And during that time of opposition, he will become discouraged along the way. In fact, we've had an entire series on this years ago, on the five confessions of Jeremiah. You know, there are five challenges God laid before Jeremiah in Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 17 through 19. And there are five confessions of Jeremiah between chapter 11 and chapter 20. Now, the last one and the greatest one of all is where Jeremiah says, I can't take it anymore. I give up. The opposition is too strong, and I just do not want to do this anymore. And in fact, he accuses God of being deceptive. In Jeremiah 20, in verse number 7, he says, O Lord, thou hast deceived me, and I was deceived. Thou art stronger than I, and hast prevailed. I am in derision daily, and everyone mocketh me. Oh, if we had time, we'd go through all that Jeremiah endured. But he endured a great opposition against himself for preaching the Word of God. But he says, for ever since I spake, I cried violence and spoil, because the Word of the Lord was made a reproach unto me and a derision daily. Almost sounds like opening up today's newspaper or looking at the daily fake news, doesn't it? Notice what Jeremiah says. Then said I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. He quit. And in fact, I don't know how long he quit, but I know that he quit because he says, and I was weary with forbearing and could not stay. In other words, he had resisted enough to where he could not resist anymore. Why? Because the word of God, he says, was in my heart as a burning fire, shut up in my bones. Therefore, he says, I was weary with forbearing. He quit, but he could not tolerate it anymore. You see, he didn't quit because he didn't believe it. He didn't quit because he quit because of the persecution and the opposition. He knew he should have been preaching the word of God, but every time that he preached it, he got mocked and he was ridiculed, and that's what will happen, my friends. Jeremiah 20, verses 7 through 9. Now, if the word of God does not burn in our hearts, and consume all of the false doctrines and philosophies of our own thoughts, then it will consume us in the end of time. We will be cast in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone. My friends, the word as a fire ignites the soul, burns the conscience, purifies the obedient, illuminates the mind, energizes the will, warms the heart, and fuses fellowship between God and His creation. God bless and have a wonderful day.